This is Standing Watch. And now, evangelist Norbert Link.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. What did Pope Francis accomplish on his recent trip to the Middle East? And why is it important that you understand in the light of biblical prophecy? Because as I will show you today, a lot of things happened which have quite a bearing on biblical prophecy. And so here's an article by The Local, dated May 18, which was written before Pope Francis actually even started his trip. It says here, Pope Francis will take part in an unprecedented joint prayer in Jerusalem next weekend with representatives of the main branches of Christianity in a bid to put aside old rivalries. The ceremony in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, venerated at the place of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, is seen by the Vatican as the high point of the papal visit to the Middle East. And then, of course, it went on to explain that he met with all kinds of representatives of religious organizations. He also met with the Orthodox leader, Patriarch Bartholomew I. And here's an article by the Washington Post, dated May 21, saying, Christians believe that Jesus was immersed in the waters of the Jordan River by John the Baptist. But the Gospels are not precise about which side of the river the baptism took place on, the east bank or the west. So there is a big division of opinion as to whether it was the east side or the west side of the Jordan River. Why is that important? Well, now, it says that on Saturday, on his first trip to the Holy Land as leader of the Roman Catholic Church, Pope Francis will visit the baptism at the Bethany beyond the Jordan on the eastern or Jordanian side of the river. So he took the side of the Jordanians. He took the side against the Israeli understanding, even though there is a lot of evidence to the effect that probably the Israeli understanding was correct. Why is that important? It is important because it shows very clearly, in spite of all the sugarcoating which was going on during his trip, that Pope Francis clearly took the side of the Palestinians against the State of Israel. And as I will show you, the State of Israel and the Israeli leaders have clearly understood that. Here is an article by The Telegraph, dated May 25, saying that Pope Francis prayed in silence and pressed his forehead against the wall that separates Jerusalem from the West Bank town of Bethlehem on Sunday during a visit which Palestinians claimed as affirmation of their claim to statehood. It was an unprecedented gesture which delighted Palestinians. They were also pleased that during his various addresses in Bethlehem, Francis used the term State of Palestine. Now, he later also prayed in Jerusalem at the famous wall there, but nevertheless, it clearly shows what his preferences are. And then again, going back to what I said at the beginning, Deutsche Welle wrote on May 25 that Pope Francis has met with Orthodox Patriarch Bartholomew I in Jerusalem, with the two religious leaders praying for Christian unity. The meeting was a highlight of the pontiff's three-day Middle East trip. And then it says earlier, Francis and Bartholomew, the spiritual leader of the world's Orthodox Christians, signed a landmark pledge to pursue a common dialogue reaffirming values common to the Catholic and Orthodox churches. And then notice carefully what this article goes on to say. The meeting was billed as the main reason for the Pope's three-day trip to the Middle East. It commemorated the historic reapproachment between both branches of the Christian Church 50 years ago, when Pope Paul VI met and embraced Patriarch Athenagoras. That encounter marked the first easing of tensions between the churches since the Great Schism in the 11th century. Now, moving forward to what the Bible has to say, the Bible makes it very clear that in the end time, prior to Christ's return, a great mother church, it is no other than the Catholic Church, Revelation 17, for instance, tells you that, will again embrace the daughter churches, those who have separated from it at one time, they will all come together again. And they will also participate in the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church. It is no secret today that the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church have been, by and large, adopted by most Protestant churches. Now, this might surprise you, but the fact is that, for instance, Sunday worship is nowhere ordered in the Bible. The Bible clearly preaches the adoration and the observance of the weekly Sabbath, which is from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. The Catholic Church has admitted a long time ago that they have changed that and have replaced Saturday with Sunday, not based on what the Bible says, because they say there is no proof in the Bible that this change should have taken place. They say the Bible commands us to keep the Sabbath, the time from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. But they said because of our authority, which was given to us by Christ, so they say, to change the law, if they want to, that's what they have done. Now, all those Protestant churches who have now claimed, and the Orthodox churches which have now claimed that they have to keep the Sunday based on biblical revelation, are wrong. Are clearly wrong, because there is nothing in the Bible which would tell them that. So they have followed the teachings of their mother church, the Roman Catholic Church. And of course, there are many other doctrines which they have adopted from the Roman Catholic Church. For instance, the fact that the annual holy days, which the Bible clearly commands, are allegedly not going to be kept anymore, don't have to be kept anymore. Holy days such as Passover, the days of unleavened bread, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Last Great Day, and of course Pentecost. Now, they keep some kind of a Pentecost celebration, but it's not the Pentecost of the Bible. So they've all accepted that from the leadership of the Roman Catholic Church. The idea that we have to keep Christmas these days, that we have to keep Easter these days, all of this is not in the Bible at all, but it's taken from the leadership of the Roman Catholic Church. So what we are seeing here now is the desire of the Roman Catholic Church to bring those quote-unquote rebellious daughter churches back into the fold. And in the process, some changes within the Catholic Church's doctrines might be made to make it, quote-unquote, easier for those daughter churches to return, like they have always done this by embracing pagans, by adopting their religions and just putting a Christian mantle on it. So this meeting is very important, very interesting. Now, again, there is another very interesting article by Reuters, which was dated May 26, saying Pope Francis navigated the minefield of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, humbly bowed to kiss the hands of Holocaust survivors on Monday, the last day of a successful Mideast trip laden with bold personal gestures. But he also goes on to say that another meeting is expected to take place on June 6 between Mahmoud Abbas and Shimon Peres, but he plays no decision-making role in Israeli diplomacy and leaves office in July. And so he is trying to get involved now and create some kind of a peace treaty, since the United States of America, under Secretary of State John Kerry, has so terribly failed to bring this about. This is also something which the Bible prophesies, that the Roman Catholic Church will get more and more involved in political endeavors. Ultimately, we read, as I will tell you in a moment, that they will actually collaborate with a military power to, quote-unquote, bring peace to the Middle East by militarily intervening there. But the Jewish leadership has clearly understood what the Pope was trying to do, specifically when he pointed out more and more often than before about the Palestinian state. And here's an article by Times of Israel, which was written on May 27, saying this: Housing Minister Uri Ariel said Tuesday that there would be no freeze on settlement construction in the West Bank or Jerusalem. There will be just one state between the Jordan River and the sea, and that is the state of Israel, Ariel said. Jerusalem will not be divided again. There are no construction freezes, and there will be no more freezes. We won't allow it. We won't accept delays and restrictions on buildings, not in Jerusalem, and not in Judea, and not in Samaria. And then it goes on to say that one of the most hawkish members of Knesset, he was elected to parliament as number two on the Orthodox nationalist Jewish home state after its leader, Naftali Bennett. Several right-wing MKs led by Bennett have in recent days come out in support of annexing Jewish sites and Jewish settlement blocks in the West Bank and have been working on legislation to that effect. The initiative has presumably come in response to Netanyahu's comments last week in an interview with Bloomberg, in which he hinted that Israel may have to take unilateral action in response to failed negotiations with the Palestinians. The statements were interpreted by hawkish MKs as a call for annexation. Now others say, well, that's not quite what he meant, but Netanyahu later came out and said, no, pretty much that's exactly what I did mean. So here we have it. Here we have again a confrontation coming up between Israel and the Palestinians, where the Catholic Church apparently takes the side of the Palestinians, and where the world more and more takes the side of the Palestinians. And so the trip of the Pope has accomplished two purposes in the mind of Catholics. First of all, to make it clear where they stand in regards to the conflict between Israel and Palestine, and also bringing about unification of all the quote-unquote Christian churches. And again, something which the Bible clearly prophesies it's going to happen. The Bible says that a United States of Europe under a military leader will intervene in the Middle East when turmoil is going to happen there. And he will be in collaboration with the last leader of the Roman Catholic Church. We have prepared a booklet about the mystery of the book of Revelation. And if you have not read that booklet, I would encourage you to order a free copy. This booklet shows you from the pages of your Bible as to what is prophesied and why the things which are happening right now are of such tremendous importance. I thank you very much for your attention. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.
Standing Watch is a presentation by The Church of the Eternal God, P.O. Box 270519, San Diego, California, 92198. More information is also available at our website, eternalgod.org.